Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Right now, we'll talk to you guys out there. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Look good early. Blue Jays scored a run in each of the first two innings, but that was it. They got three hits after the second inning, and even five perfect innings of bullpen work wasn't enough as the Blue Jays lose it 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies. Should be noted, the Phillies are the hottest team in Major League Baseball, inexplicably. They have won 9 of their last 10, and they still have the worst record in all of baseball, the only team that's not even playing 400 ball, despite having won 9 of 10. Devin Travis goes down with a shoulder injury in the second. Jose Bautista goes down with a hamstring injury in the eighth. This game ends with Russell Martin at second base and Drew Hutchison on the base paths. Because the Blue Jays are playing with a short bench today. No Troy Tulowitzki. He will be here for tomorrow's game. And it appears as though the Jays are going to be 8 games out of first place in the American League East when all is said and done, as the New York Yankees lead the Texas Rangers 15-5 in the top of the third. And the Yankees were down 5-0 after one inning in this game. Just amazing. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jose Bautista has just tweeted, "Tough loss tonight, on to the next one. For those of you who actually care, it was just a cramp. I expect to be in there tomorrow," which is fantastic news for the Blue Jays. Now, he might still need a day or two, but the fact that it's a cramp and not a hamstring pull is huge for Jose Bautista. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jays Talk is upon us. And we begin with Corey in Strathroy. Corey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
All right, thank you.
Tough loss tonight, eh?
Yeah, kind of ugly.
Big time. Hey, how bad was Devin Travis's injury tonight?
Don't know. All they've said is irritation in his left shoulder. So
really?
I'm sure they're going to take a good look at it and figure it out. I mean, it's way too early to be able to see whether it's going to be, you know, what it's going to be.
Was that the same shoulder he hurt early in the year?
Yeah, it was. It is.
And I have one more question. Where do you see Tulowitzki hitting in the lineup tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on Devin Travis, right, and how healthy he is, because I would expect if Travis is healthy, he's probably going to be the leadoff man for a while.
You think so, eh? Tulowitzki's a leadoff guy, eh?
Tulowitzki's not a leadoff guy.
No, you meant Devin. Sorry.
Yeah, because that's what I said.
I see Tulowitzki as the third spot. What about you?
I think, you know, he's a very good hitter, and in Colorado he hit third. Here, Jose Bautista hits third, and he's better.
Yeah.
I see Tulowitzki, pardon me, as the five hitter in this lineup.
You really do, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. With Travis healthy, I would go Travis, Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulowitzki, and it's a really, really good top five.
It is. It's a sick top five. I just hope we pick up. I hope we pick up some more pitch, and that's all I hope.
Well, I think they're trying.
You never know, eh?
They're trying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays lose 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies. Sean is in Toronto. You're next on Jays Talk.
How's it going, Mike?
I'm all right, despite the coughs. Go ahead.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, I love the Tulo trade. I think it really sets our infield up perfectly with Travis and Tulo and Donaldson moving forward. But honestly, I'm just a frustrated fan, to be honest with you. More Toronto sports than just the Jays, but I'm a huge Jays fan. And seeing a game like this, right after all the buzz, it's a real letdown. And honestly, I mean, I understand the optimism and what you're saying on the show with Brady, how, you know, we can still catch the Yankees and this and that. But honestly, I don't even think we can take a wild card position, and I'll tell you why. Everyone talks about how great this offense is, but I see it as a feast or famine kind of offense where we lose all these one-run games. because the offense can show up in those games. And then the next game, we go out and score 10 runs and win 10-1 or 10-2. And that kind of skews that run differential, looking like, wow, this team is just pouring on runs. But we're like, we scored 2 runs against the Phillies. I don't care if the Phillies are like 12-0 or whatever they are, 8-1, 9-1. Like, 2 runs against the Phillies, 14 straight retired. And I know tomorrow they're going to go ahead and score 10 runs, but maybe trying to get to the playoffs, you can't lose a game like this. And I get it, it's just one game of on 162, but it's just really frustrating as a Jays fan for the last 20 years. I mean, yeah, this is not the same team as the previous years. We have, you know, character guys, but I see the same results, and I'm going to let you try and convince me otherwise, and I'll hang up now. Thanks.
Look, I can't convince you otherwise. There's no reason not to be frustrated. This has been an incredibly frustrating team this year. They're 50-51, and they're leading the world in run differential. There is no reason that it should be this way. They come out, they score 2 runs against a terrible team, and you're right. Even though they're playing very, very well right now, the Philadelphia Phillies, you expect the Blue Jays to score more than 2 runs off a guy with the stuff of Adam Morgan. I mean, this team should murder left-handed pitching on a regular basis, and it's frustrating, but that's what we're dealing with right now. We know this team is full of very, very talented players. And the argument that the offense is feast or famine is, it's not really valid. I mean, they have scored a bunch of 10-run games, a bunch of multiple-run games, it's true. They've all also given up a ton of runs. So the pitching is near the bottom of the league. So they may be losing one-run games, but a lot of times those are 6-5 and 8-7 losses. As opposed to the 2-1s and 3-2s. This team, last I checked, was second in the major leagues in hitting in the quote-unquote clutch. So when they don't score, it's frustrating because you expect them to roll onto the field and score 5 runs without even blinking. And when it doesn't happen, it's really frustrating. And when it happens like tonight, where you have 2 runs after the first inning and then 3 hits the rest of the way and don't score, it's going to be very frustrating. But honestly, it's very tough to imagine that things are going to continue like this, especially with the addition of Troy Tulowitzki, who was not here tonight. He makes the defense better. He makes the offense better. He helps them win games, right? The idea of the way you win games is by scoring more runs than the other guy. And Tulowitzki helps the Blue Jays score more runs than the other guy, and he also helps prevent some. They need pitching help, it's true, but this is still an extraordinarily talented team. I don't know why it's treading water like this. Don't sleep on the bullpen with the additions of LaTroy Hawkins and Aaron Sanchez over the last 4 days. This bullpen has gotten a heck of a lot better. For me, there's no reason that this second half or the third of the season isn't going to be very, very good for this team. And they play 13 times against the New York Yankees. They're not doing themselves any favors with games like tonight, but they play 13 times against the New York Yankees, and they're 3.5 games out of a playoff spot. Your calls continue after we let the network go at the top of the hour. Blue Jays lose 3-2 to the Phillies. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Frustrating night for the Blue Jays. They fall 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies in the opener of a 10-game homestand. Devin Travis leaves with irritation in his right shoulder in the second inning. Jose Bautista leaves in the eighth and tweeted that it's just a cramp in his right hamstring, and he does expect to play tomorrow, which is good news. In case you missed it this morning, Blue Jays made a 6-player trade with the Colorado Rockies, sending Jose Reyes, Jeff Hoffman, Miguel Castro, and Jesus Tinoco to the Colorado Rockies for Troy Tulowitzki, who will be here tomorrow, and LaTroy Hawkins, who pitched a perfect sixth today. We're back at it tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern. It'll be R.A. Dickey for the Blue Jays against Jerome Williams as the Jays look for the split. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Alex Machinsky, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.
1-0 pitch. Line deep left field. That's up, up, up. There she goes.
Those were the good old days. Devin Travis leading off this ballgame with a home run, his eighth of the season. his first since coming back off the disabled list. And in his next at bat, leaves with left shoulder irritation. And we'll see what the deal is with Devin Travis on a day where the Blue Jays pick up a new shortstop. Troy Tulowitzki coming over from the Colorado Rockies, the best shortstop in Major League Baseball. The Blue Jays now have just a silly left side of the infield with Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson. But they didn't have Tulowitzki tonight, and they lose 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies. Jose Bautista also leaving in the bottom of the eighth inning. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls right up until 11 o'clock Eastern. We'll hear from John Gibbons in a second, but first, let's go back to the phones. And Sam in Hamilton, welcome to Jay's Talk.
Hey, Mike. You know, tough loss tonight, but, you know, in my opinion, what the Blue Jays should do in the month of August is to do one goal only. Get away from Baltimore and Tampa Bay. Just make it so you're in the rear view mirror of the Yankees instead of looking behind you. Just keep on looking straight at the Yankees instead of, you know, because two losses and the Blue Jays are back in fourth place.
Yeah, but they're so close. I mean, you could flip a coin. It doesn't really matter. What they have to do is start winning. And if they start winning, they'll separate themselves.
Exactly. That's what they have to do. And, you know, get it so it's a head-to-head versus the Yankees Blue Jays in September. That'd be fun instead of this, you know, tighten it up with the Orioles and the Yays. But anyways, first of all, I love the Tulo trade. It sucks we had to give up Jeff Hoffman. You know, I love our prospects. I think every prospect we have will turn into Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer, but I'd rather give up Hoffman for Tulo instead of Dan Duquette.
Yeah, you're certainly not alone there.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Batista's comment? Because I look at Batista and I look at Donaldson's comment and I see Batista, you know, not kind of like last year, but he's vocal about the trade, and, you know, it's not the right part. You know, it's not what we need, but, you know, maybe it's because his best friend left and he's a little upset. Meanwhile, Donaldson, he doesn't know Reyes that well. You know, maybe he didn't connect with Reyes, but you see Donaldson so happy and jacked up, and you see Batista a little mellow.
Yeah, I don't think that's it at all. I mean, I was in both those scrums. I spoke to Jose Bautista, and I spoke to Josh Donaldson, and Donaldson was not jacked up. And Bautista was sad. He, you know, he lost a guy who he was very close to. But the comment that Jose made, he was asked, is the trade an upgrade? And his exact quote is, if you want to look at it as a pure baseball move, I think there's upgrades in different areas, maybe not necessarily what we need, but it is an upgrade. That's not Jose Bautista calling out Alex Anthopoulos. That's not Jose Bautista complaining. That's not Jose Bautista being unhappy about this trade.
No, but, you know, his words. Like, his words, you know, it didn't seem like, you know, he was high-fiving everybody in the dressing room.
Well, why would he be high-fiving everybody in the dressing room? This, you know, and to expect that, I think, when you make a trade where you're losing a major piece off of the Major League roster for an upgrade, then there's no question that Troy Tulowitzki is a better at pretty much everything than Jose Reyes is.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to be high-fiving. Yeah. First of all, it's disrespectful to the memory of Jose Reyes, A, and two, you're upset. Now, if they had pulled in somebody, whoever, without giving up somebody off the roster, yeah, then there are high-fives, then everybody's excited, and here we go. But to ask the Blue Jays to be bouncing off the walls in excitement about this trade when they just said goodbye to Jose Reyes a few hours earlier is a lot to ask.
Okay, just two more quickly things. And one, why isn't nobody ever talking about this? I remember I was at Pitch Talk when you were in Waterloo. I was there, and I totally forgot to ask you then and everybody on the panel, why isn't nobody talking about Cole Hamels being in Toronto right now? Like, why is Cole Hamels right now is in the city of Toronto? So, I mean, one phone call and Cole Hamels could be a Blue Jay.
One phone call and Cole Hamels could be a Blue Jay if he was in Auckland also. I mean, the fact that he's in Toronto really doesn't mean anything
I think it's funny that the Phillies are in town and the trade deadline. I just think that's kind of funny.
They're not. The Kansas City Royals are in town for the trade deadline.
Well, I mean, like, we're so close to the trade deadline and you can see it.
Yeah, I don't think Cole Hamels is coming to the Blue Jays. I think it's kind of a pretty open thing that he wouldn't waive his no trade to come to the Jays, regardless of what he said. I don't think that, you know, taking on the $100 million that Cole Hamels is owed is the best idea. And I, you know, I don't think the Blue Jays, after parting with Hoffman and Castro yesterday, are willing to part with pretty much everybody else.
Well, that was
in order to get Hamels.
Well, that was my second part of this question. Is, you know, watching this game, you know, fifth inning, you know, we're losing 3-2 or sixth inning. I'm thinking, you know what? Screw it. Let's go for it. Let's give up everybody we need to for David Price. But yet, in the ninth inning, when Bautista got hurt, I'm like, well, maybe we shouldn't. We just wait till 2016. Not saying this season's over, but I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things where it's inning by inning for us Jays fans, where some of us really want to go for it, and they don't care about the prospects, and we want to see us win this year and give up, go for a Price or a Hamels, and then expect a, you know, a rebuild after this, or we can just stay the course right now. Because I think the Tulo trade, as much as it is for this year, it's also for next year too, and years behind or after that. So I mean, it's one of those things where do we give up everything to go for it this year, or do we stay pat? And well, obviously, instead of getting the big boy, go get a Latos or a Kennedy.
And I think that's what they're likelier to do, is go get a Kennedy or a Latos or a Mike Leake or somebody like that who's better than what the Blue Jays currently have at the bottom of the rotation but isn't a David Price or a Cole Hamels. The Jays aren't in a position where they're one starting pitcher away from being in the playoffs. They should be, but they've played themselves to this point at 50 and 51 where they're not. So giving up a ton of stuff for a rental just really doesn't make any sense, because you know, even if you get David Price, you're still really up against it to make the playoffs, and there's a good chance you won't, and you've given up a ton of great stuff for those 11 starts of David Price. You know what the Kansas City Royals are doing is very different. The Kansas City Royals were in the World Series last year. They have the best record in the league this year. And they have right now a 7.5-game lead, or pardon me, an 8.5-game lead on the Minnesota Twins. Kansas City Royals are going to make the playoffs. So the Kansas City Royals are paying for Johnny Cueto to succeed in the playoffs. The Blue Jays can't sit here and say they're going to make the playoffs by any means. So you don't make deals like that. You make deals to bring in really good players who are going to be here beyond this season, or you make deals to get the help you need that might not be here beyond next season, beyond this season, if you don't have to give up too much to get it. And I think that's the strategy that they're using. Appreciate the call, and we'll get to more of your calls in a minute. But first, let's listen in on the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 3-2 loss to the Phillies.
Gibby, do you have updates on Bautista and Travis?
No, not yet. They'll get looked at tonight, get a better idea. You know, Devin Felton, same area, got him pretty good. So we'll find out. Bautista, you know, some of his hammy calves. Hopefully it's just a cramp, but, you know, we'll have a little better idea later on tonight.
Maybe didn't have did you have any recourse there on the foul ball? Did you ask him to go to New York to take a look, or is that something they can't review?
No, you know, a batted ball, the ball that makes contact with the bat, you can't review, you know, just hit by pitch. But I just, you know, I just – figure one of the umpires must have saw that, you know. I thought it was pretty obvious, but you know, when they don't come forward, you know, that's you know, if they see it immediately, they come forward and make a call. But you know, but still, it was, I mean, you know, Morgan shut us down pretty good tonight. You know, one thing we do is hit lefties, but I think he shut us down as well as any lefty has all year, really. You know, kid did a real nice job. So, and their bullpen was good. So
it was only one inning, but what did you see from Hawkins?
Oh, I thought he looked great. You know, I mean, that's what he does. Came and got a couple quick outs, and then he struck out Howard. You know, even the last pitch looked like it hit a little extra something on it. You know, I mean, he's a veteran guy that's, you know, you pitch as long as he has and survive in a bullpen. It's really because you know what you're doing, you know. But his stuff really hasn't diminished at all. That's what's amazing about it. It was a lot like, you know, you know, a lot of the veteran guys, Darren Oliver, who we had here, you know, pitched so long. I mean, they're survivors, and they're, you know, they're not just doing it on stuff. They're, you know, they're pretty smart, and they have a feel for what they're doing. So, yeah, I think he's definitely going to help us.
For LaTroy, was it just a matter of seeing how he looked? It was an 8-pitch inning. Could he have gone an inning or two longer in your mind, or was it just a matter of seeing?
Well, I mean, he's not here to throw multiple innings. You know, he's going to be a one inning guy, maybe an inning and a third. you know, we got to cover him. That's basically been his role. Then he's an older guy, you know.
DuBron looked pretty solid through four and then struggled in that fifth inning there. What led to his struggles in your mind?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he was doing fine there. It looked like maybe, you know, he lost his zone, was started scattering it. Like maybe he was overthrown a little bit. I don't know, you know, but it happened quick. You know, he drove a couple balls there, so. And that was the difference in the game, that, you know, that one run. You know, it's hard to say sometimes.
There you go. There's John Gibbons. Doesn't know why Felix DuBron hit the wall in the fifth inning. He said they're going to get Travis and Bautista both checked out. Hope Bautista's just a cramp. And Bautista has put on Twitter that it is just a cramp. We'll see. MRIs often reveal things that you're not necessarily aware of when you feel it. But hopefully it is just a cramp. And Bautista, like he says, will be able to be back in the lineup tomorrow. Losing him for extended period would really hurt this team, although a lot of people on Twitter and on this program seem to think they can spare the offense. They lose 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. We continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Russ in Jersey. Hello, Russ.
Good evening, Mike. And I just, for the last caller, nothing bad, but you know, some people don't forget that guys are human beings. You know, you get traded, and sometimes it's not even a great player. A very average player gets traded from the team. And guys are down because they make friendships. Some guys are good in the locker room that people don't see. On, you know, may not see the numbers in the field, but, you know, a guy like Reyes, he's probably tight with Batista, and I expect Batista to be down. There's nothing wrong. It's not a knock on Tulowitzki. I think when Tulowitzki gets here and does what he does well, I think Batista will be very happy, but it's fully on this down. But, you know, I'm like, I think the division is done. You know, I think one of the most amazing stories in baseball this year, and I think you would agree, is the Yankees. Everything question mark, and they had a million of them, starting with A-Rod. You know, I think people, if you would have told them there were 15 homers at the beginning of the year, they would have jumped up for joy. You have Teixeira, who was hurt and not producing, you know, like he had in the past last year. McCann, who had a tough year in New York. They're pitching. And everything for the New York Yankees that was a question mark has just been unbelievable. And, you know, I don't think people saw it, but they treaded water without Ellsbury, who they paid a lot of money, but is a great catalyst, and without their closer. And since those two guys have come back, they've been great. And it's just like, I don't think Jays would probably have to play at least 20 games over 500 to probably win the division. I think the Yankees are 14 and 15, and I don't expect them to go into a huge tailspin. I just don't think I think the division is basically done, and you're fighting for a wild card, and that's why you were right. I'm not going to give up a lot to get a rental to fight for a wild card and get a one game. If I'm out, and you know what, then I gave up a lot of prospects. That would be stupid. So I just think the division in the last couple of weeks has just slipped away, where I think it's going to be almost impossible to come back and win this division.
Well, as long as they still have 13 games left against the New York Yankees, the division is far from done. The Yankees are certainly making it difficult, and the Blue Jays are making it difficult on themselves, without question. The Yankees are up 16-5 right now in the top of the fourth against the Texas Rangers. So, but it's not. I mean, you've got 13 games head to head. Division's not done. So, it's not close enough to say that, hey, they have a really good chance of winning the division, which is why, you know, you don't give up all the remainder of your finest prospects. But I'm not going to go with you and say it's over, very obviously. I mean, there's still 61 games left to play, 13 of them against the team in front of you.
You know, and it's funny that you say that, because if there's one guy that can come in and talk about that, it's Tulowitzki, what they did that year to come back and win that division. So if there's a guy that knows about, you know, overcoming, you know, huge deficits in the division and coming back to win, like Colorado did the year he was there, to come back and win. So he's a good guy to look to, because he was part of that team that did it.
Look, Josh Donaldson knows about it too. Russ Martin knows about it too. It happened with him in Pittsburgh. The stuff happens a lot more often than people think. Are the odds in the Blue Jays' favor? Certainly not. But, you know, many, many, many stranger things have happened. And it's just like in May, where people want teams to be sellers in May. And you know, there's no need to look for a resolution with so much time left. There's such a rush to say this is what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, and we can't pretend to know what's going to happen. Again, 13 games left head-to-head against the New York Yankees, and the Blue Jays' chance at the American League East will come down to those games, not down to this one-run loss to the Phillies tonight while the Yankees beat the Rangers by 30. Appreciate
Mike,
the call, Russ.
I hope you're right.
As always. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Fernie in Toronto. You're up next on Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
All right. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, you know, I'm looking at the fans. The fans have got to relax. I've been coaching now baseball for 36 years. I've coached the likes of Joey Votto, Sean Hill, the recent shortstop of Canada's national team in the Pan Am Games, Sean Jameson. I'm not tooting my horn.
Sounds like it, but that's cool anyway.
8 years in Cuba with Yoenis Cespedes and Alfredo España. And I'm telling you, these players perform, as well as the coaches, based on the fan output. The fans of Toronto, and I say this because I did work for the Blue Jays for a couple of years, they are based on the energy that the fans spew out. Yes, we made a great deal today with Tulowitzki. Unfortunately, Jose Reyes had to go, and he was great in the clubhouse. He made a lot of friends, and there's no doubt that fellows like Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, were affected by this trade. But they've got to step it up. We, the fans in Toronto, unfortunately, are all coaches. We have 2 million fans with the Leafs, the Blue Jays, and we're all coaches. Well, we're not. And you know what? One of the things we have to start to do is support our teams. You're not out there on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. You've got to be out there. Don't wait till we put a winning team on the field. Get out there. If you want a winning team, you will see, no doubt in my mind, you will have a winning team. If you look at 1990, 1991, 92, we had those stands full, and players wanted to be here. Now you hear guys like Cole Hamels, they don't want to be here. I can assure you that if they have a no-trade clause, they will not come to Toronto. You, the fans, are the key role. And we have to support our players. We have to support our coaches. Mike, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Fernie, for the call. I mean, it's always lovely to see the stands packed. It's always lovely to see people out here making noise, which, you know, really doesn't happen a lot here anyway. But to suggest that the performance of the team is based on the tickets sold or energy from the crowd, I mean, you know, in 1994, didn't they sell out every game still in 94 and they were terrible? The Blue Jays, the last few years, have been really, really, really touch and go when they have huge crowds. So, you know, it's the responsibility of the players. The Tampa Bay Rays play before an empty house pretty much every night, and they've won 90 games, what, five times in the last 6 or 7 years? You know, I'm sorry. I just don't see it that way at all. And the crucial evidence, actual data, would seem to support that. It is not the fans' responsibility to turn the Blue Jays into winners. It is the Blue Jays' responsibility to win games. Lori is in Toronto. Hey, Lori.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Quick question. Why did Gibbons not challenge the call?
Because it's not challengeable.
That's not what they said on TV.
Well, they're wrong on TV. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's not a play that can be challenged. And it's too bad that that information got out there, because there was a lot of – it led to a lot of anger from fans during the game. But the truth of the matter is everybody saw the ball hit Ryan Howard's leg.
Yeah.
Whoever was looking at a replay in the dugout saw the ball hit Ryan Howard's leg. If it was a reviewable play, of course they would have asked for a review. And again, too bad that the misleading information was out there. But
so
fair
why
foul.
Is that not a misleading or a reversible call?
Not a reviewable
call. Challengeable.
No.
Why?
I don't know. That's what they decided. I mean, it seems like it's really odd, the list of what's reviewable and what's not. That's not one. Fair or foul in the infield is not a call that can be reviewed.
Okay, because that, I think, would have changed the whole dynamics of the inning.
It could have. It might not have. I mean, Ryan Howard wouldn't have been out. It would have just been a foul ball. He could have still wound up getting a hit anyway.
Yeah.
But you hate to see such an obvious, obvious mistake by an umpire have such an impact on a game.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. It's unbelievable that none of the four umpires saw that. It is beyond stupid that that's not a call that can be reviewed. Did a batted ball hit a batter in the box? Why that's not reviewable is just beyond the pale. Maybe nobody thought of it. Maybe people thought it would be so obvious, although we've seen all kinds of times where a batter fouls a ball off his foot, or does he or doesn't he, and the umpires aren't sure. Maybe they thought it would be too tough to get a definitive review, a definitive replay, but so what? If you don't get a definitive replay, it's inconclusive, there you go, call stands. For the life of me, I don't understand why that wouldn't be reviewable, and hopefully the Blue Jays are in touch with the league office to air their concerns about that, because this potentially could have cost them the game tonight. I think the fact that they only got three hits after the second inning was a little bit more costing them the game, but that's a huge play where Ryan Howard is on first base as a leadoff man, doesn't deserve to be, and a three-run inning goes from there. So that's just terrible. As a bunch of people asking me on Twitter if you can protest the game because of that. You cannot. You can't protest a call you don't like. You can. The only time that you protest a game is when there is a misapplication of a rule, when the umpires don't know the rules, basically. Happens sometimes, doesn't happen a lot. But when there's a misapplication of a rule, you can protest a game, and that certainly was not a misapplication of the rule. That was a mistake. They got a call wrong. And the Blue Jays paid for it. 3-2, the Phillies win. Mel in Toronto. Hello, Mel.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I thought the bullpen was actually great tonight. Liam Hendricks was perfect.
Everybody was perfect.
Troy Hawkins has an arm that goes right down to the ground when he's standing up. He's like an orangutan. And I a real good shout-out to the bullpen. But, of course, they can't put it all together. The bullpen was great. DuBronc wasn't. The hitting wasn't there. And that seems like it's been the Jays for the year. But the question I had for you, Mike, after my comments was, over the past couple of weeks with all the trade talk, et cetera, it seems to me that teams, and I just like your opinion on it, it seems to me that the teams that are there with players available like Papelbon, the first name that comes up is Marcus Stroman.
Not for Papelbon. No, not for Papelbon. For David Price, for Johnny Cueto, for Jeff Samardzija.
They seem to be asking a lot of the Jays for any prospective trade. And what I found really interesting was, Papelbon went to the Nationals.
Yep.
I said almost had senators, to the Nationals for a double-A pitcher.
Jeff Hoffman is a double-A pitcher. The fact that he was a double-A pitcher doesn't really mean anything. The Phillies were certainly not asking for Stroman or Hoffman or Sanchez or Norris for Jonathan Papelbon.
What they might have been asking for?
No, because I don't think the Blue Jays were willing to engage. I don't think the Blue Jays are interested in Jonathan Papelbon.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought he might have been a nice piece for the bullpen for one inning at least.
Well, I think he would have been a nice piece of the bullpen for one inning at least, but he comes with a lot of baggage. He's owed a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's got an expensive contract for next year. Even though he reworked it, and the Phillies did kick in some money, but he's still going to be paid $11 million next year.
Right.
$8 million next year, $3 million as a deferment that'll be paid in 2017. But this, you know, the Blue Jays moved Aaron Sanchez to the bullpen. They picked up LaTroy Hawkins. Roberto Osuna and Bo Schultz have emerged. Jonathan Papelbon wasn't the guy that they wanted to spend their money on. It had nothing to do with the Phillies asking for a ton.
Who do you think that the Jays might pursue in the next couple of days?
You know what? Would I have said yesterday that they were going to pursue Troy Tulowitzki?
Absolutely not.
Right.
A shocker and a wonderful shock.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I certainly liked, except for the one play in the outfield, the way Ben Revere looked in center field today. I think he could help the Blue Jays and give them maybe a legit leadoff man, and he's someone that the Phillies might be interested in dealing and playing left field. I've said many times that I think if the Blue Jays pull in a mediocre starting pitcher, I mean, I'd love to for them to go out and get Andrew Cashner from the San Diego Padres.
So would I.
But that'll, again, cost a lot. I would be more than happy if they got Mike Leake, if they got Ian Kennedy, if they got, I didn't realize Aaron Harang was on the disabled list, but someone like him, just a guy who's not going to get blown up in the third or fourth inning, who's probably going to give you six, even if it's not six great innings. With the offense that the Blue Jays have, all indications to the contrary tonight, you don't need great starting pitching. You just need it to be good. So I don't think we're going to get the doors blown off with the next trade. I do think there will be a next trade and maybe even another one after that. But I think that they're just working to improve what they have, and they got to start playing better.
Thanks very much for that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you sometime in the next half hour. We're going to step away for a second. Blue Jays fall 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies as they come home from a week-long Western road trip. They are now 50-51. They are now behind the Tampa Bay Rays, who won tonight. They are behind the Baltimore Orioles, who won tonight. They are in fourth place in the American League East by half a game behind Tampa and Baltimore, but fourth place nonetheless, and they will likely be 8 games behind the New York Yankees, who lead the Texas Rangers 16-5 as they play in the bottom of the fifth. As far as the wild card standings are concerned, the Minnesota Twins went into tonight's action holding that second wild card 3 games ahead of the Blue Jays. The Twins and Pirates are tied 3-3 as they play in the bottom of the seventh at Target Field. And Minnesota will be here at the end of this homestand from August 3rd to the 6th. More of your calls coming up. Jays Talk continues at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The 1-2 pitch, ground ball over the mound, chopped toward the second base bag, and nearly colliding Valencia in the shortstop Goins, who throws to first to get him. The inning is over. Ryan Goins, the magician on the infield, wherever you put him.
That was a spectacular play by Ryan Goins up the middle to end the third inning. Behind Danny Valencia, who had come in to play second from left field with the injury to Devin Travis. Travis is going to have an MRI on his left shoulder tonight. Jose Bautista left with what he says is just a cramp, and he expects to play tomorrow, which is great news for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays lose it 3-2. Tomorrow, Troy Tulowitzki will show up, and the Jays will have to make a roster move, likely to get rid of a reliever. The bullpen was brilliant tonight. Ryan Tepera, LaTroy Hawkins, Brett Cecil, and Liam Hendricks combined for five perfect innings behind Felix DuBrant, who didn't get an out against any of the four batters he faced in the top of the fifth, and that was where the Phillies scored all three of their runs. Jays 50-51, 7.5 out in the American League East, 3.5 behind the second wild card. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk, taking your calls at the top of the hour, and let's get right back to it. Mike in Toronto. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to get over this thing that you've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Me and Ben Nicholson have been talking about this. The Yankees aren't that good.
I don't know if I said they aren't that good or if I said they aren't a very good team.
That's what you said.
Yeah, and I don't think they are. They are playing amazing baseball right
yeah,
now. There's no question about that. They're not 8 games clear yet, but they probably will be very soon.
Yeah,
they're playing out of their skulls, and good for them.
Yeah, no, definitely good for them. But what do you see that we really need? The Tulo deal, I agree with you, is a great deal, not only for now but for the future. But what is going to help us? Like, now that we've – I agree with you, we haven't depleted our minor league system. But what are we going to get? Is it a Mike Fires, a leak, you know, something to help us out now?
Yeah, I don't know. They're trying. That's all I know is that
I get that, but, like, what is going to help us catch either them or get in the wild card spot?
Beating them is going to help the Blue Jays.
Well, yeah,
catch
but
them.
10 of 13, what are we going to need to do? We're going to need to win 10 out of those 13 games to
well,
catch
Well, I
them.
Mean, no. If you have to win 10 out of 13, then that means you only pick up one game over the other 50 that you've got during the season. You wouldn't expect that
but
if you win.
But 50 and 51, and.
Yes,
you know.
I know. They're 50-51. They're disappointing.
And the Yankees are not.
They're frustrating. They're not playing well.
No,
they
but
obviously,
are Kansas,
they're not
going to
win the division.
But I'm talking about Kansas City are clear. The Yankees are clear. And what are we going to do to bridge that gap?
Win ball games.
I know.
Seriously, what do you want me? Tell me what you want me to say, and I'll tell you whether I'm willing to say it or not.
But you keep saying all we need to do is we have 13 games against the Yankees. So how are we going to do that?
By beating the Yankees. Honestly, this is a very circular conversation, and I'm not sure what you expect me to
say.
Okay,
forget about the circular conversation. What do you think we get between now and Friday?
Hopefully, they can get a couple of starting pitchers, and maybe they can improve in left
well,
field.
What would you like? What would be the starting pitcher that would help you right now with our prospects to give up without giving up too much? What would you like to get in between now and Friday?
You can't do that. Because if you want to get somebody who's really good, you have to give up too much. I mean, I'm happy, and again, you're asking me to just repeat stuff that I said to the last caller.
No, but even with the Fires or Heron or Mike Leake or anything
yeah.
like that,
any of those guys make the Blue Jays a ton better.
What do you think would get us that?
I don't know, and again, I can't pretend to know because, you know. Did I think?
Yeah, you're not Alex Anthopoulos. I know. I
right.
get it, Mike.
I'm
I
not
understand.
In those conversations.
Totally.
And I could sit here and try to be like all those other pundits and say, oh, this will get this guy and that will
yeah.
get that guy.
No, it's nonsense, with too. I agree with you, Mike.
Absolutely no clue what I'm talking about,
yeah.
right? And I'm not sitting here to puff my chest and say I know stuff that I don't know
yeah.
and then be proven wrong 2 days later when other stuff happens, right? That's for other people. I don't know what it'll take to get Mike Leake.
But you
or,
know that we need another pitcher just to get us edge over, right?
You hope so.
I mean, you hope
maybe Daniel Norris is that other pitcher. Maybe Drew Hutchison has a really good second half. We've
and
seen
one
it
more point,
him.
Mike, the bullpen, hell of a job tonight. Me and my old man are sitting here. We've been digging over Liam Hendricks since the day like he came here, and he did a hell of a job tonight. The bullpen did a hell of a job tonight. You know, we need to stop forking these guys over. LaTroy Hawkins is a great pickup. Veteran guy, and I hope we can take him hunting up north.
Thank you for the call. Every once in a while, you get a call that sounds like a rational human being that I completely don't understand what he's trying to say or what he wants from me. That was one of those calls. Randy is in Moncton. Randy, you're up next on Jay's Talk.
Hi. Somebody kind of stole my thunder. I still don't quite understand that Ryan Howard play. I guess they rule if you're hit by pitch, instead of fouling the ball off, it's ruled a dead ball and you take your base. I guess that's
what?
That's the only thing I can think of. I don't
no, the umpires didn't see it hit his leg. That's
right.
what happened.
But it's not reviewable, which is
no, it's not
odd.
Reviewable, which is odd, which is just, I mean, there's a whole bunch of odd things about how what's reviewable and what's not reviewable, but there's no mystery to what happened. Nobody saw the ball hit his leg except everybody in the stadium except the four umpires.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, to me, you know, the Blue Jays can make a run if, you know, guys like Aaron Loop or Drew Hutchinson have really, you know, a really good second half, but they have to really put it together pretty quick. The Orioles, Blue Jays, and Rays haven't played consistently enough to think that they can catch New York. New York's going to have to go on a losing streak, and one of those three teams is going to have to pick it up. The only thing about it is the Twins have 46 losses, the Blue Jays have 51. It's only five games in the loss column, which is not that much. But they need a lot more consistent pitching than they're getting now to make any sort of run.
They've got to be better, plain and simple. They've got to be better. They should be a lot better than they are. I mean, they've outscored the opposition by 93 runs this year.
How do you explain that?
You
That's
can't.
Weird.
It's bad bullpen work a lot of the time.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to get better enough to make a run at a wild card or division?
Yeah. They're 3.5 games back of the wild card.
They don't
need a run. You know, it's nothing. The Twins are coming in here next week. If they beat them 3 out of 4, boom, there you go. So, this is a team that, despite the fact that it's playing like crap right now, is right in the thick of a race. So they don't really have to do much other than start playing better.
Where's Aaron Sanchez? Is he pitching setup, or where do they have him going in the bullpen?
Well, so far he's pitched the eighth inning in both of his appearances, and it looks like he's the bridge to Roberto Osuna.
All right, well, we hope it all pans out.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Blue Jays lose it 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies to fall back below 500 at 50-51. Remember, again, Kansas City Royals were 50-50 last year. They were 51-50, and the Blue Jays are 50-51. They went to the World Series. The Blue Jays in 1989 were 59-59 and wound up winning the division, getting knocked out in the first round by the juggernaut that was the Oakland A's. Enzo is in London. Hey, Enzo.
Actually, my name is Andrew. I don't know where he got Enzo.
Oh, weird.
Anyway,
all right. Welcome aboard, Andrew.
Two quick questions. Buck Martinez said that the Jays, in games where they score 4 or less, have only won 7. How many have they lost?
Games in which they score 4 or less, I would say they've lost a ton of those games. I don't have that stat in front of me right now.
And the other thing, the new player, and I still haven't mastered his name, Tulowitzki. Tulowitzki.
Yep.
How come he couldn't make it to the game tonight and the relief pitcher did?
LaTroy Hawkins always travels with his passport, which is a great idea. And Tulowitzki, I assume, did not do that. But I also think, you know, you're talking about LaTroy Hawkins. This is his 11th major league team. He's used to this. He knows what you have to do, and he knows what it's all about. For Troy Tulowitzki, this is the first time he's ever been traded. This is
okay,
the first.
But in all the reporting of the trade last night, today, during the game, no one mentions. Where's Tulowitzki?
I mentioned it about 87 times.
Oh, you mentioned that it was a passport problem?
It wasn't a passport problem. It was that, I mean, I'm assuming he just needed the time to get his affairs in order.
Well, then what's what I mean? There's no report of what the reason is.
Maybe he had to go feed his dogs. Maybe he had to have his passport wired to him. Maybe he just needed 24 hours.
Well, on TV, there were one bench player short tonight.
They weren't.
Well, that's
they
said
were playing
on television.
With a 25-man roster tonight.
Well, you only get one chance to make a first impression. This is not a good one.
Well, that's your problem, I think. That's probably...
yeah, one of my many.
Yeah, maybe.
Bye-bye.
But it's you not being familiar with the way things work. Look, for Troy Tulowitzki to not make it here for the game tonight after being traded at 1 o'clock in the morning last night is not that big a deal. For LaTroy Hawkins to be here is a pretty big deal. And to be able to go out there and throw an 8-pitch perfect inning, that's huge. I have no issue at all, and I can't understand why anybody would with Troy Tulowitzki not being able to be here in time to play in this game. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays lose it 3-2 to the Philadelphia Phillies John is in North York. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
All right. Go ahead.
Good. I just want to get your comments on Jose Bautista's comments about the trade today. I just personally, I felt as a leader of the team, they were kind of negative, and
they weren't negative at all.
I disagree.
Did you hear him, or did you just read about him, or did you just see Twitter about him?
I listened to the whole thing, and it's one thing to say that the trade is you know, it's improving the team, but we needed a pitcher. But it's another thing to say, you know, we're really excited to have him, and we're looking forward to adding a pitcher in the next 3 days. There's a big difference in the connotation of that language, and I just felt I was amped. I went to the game tonight, and they came out totally flat, and I think his comment set the tone for that game tonight.
Well, they scored a run in the first inning and a run in the second inning, so I don't know that you can honestly say that they came out of the game totally flat, for one thing. For another thing, what Jose Bautista, first of all, how did you hear the whole thing? Where did they play the whole scrum?
I heard it on. I listened to the fan. I was on the news. I was on Sportsnet on the internet. I read it all.
You might have seen clips of it or something. What Jose Bautista said was, "It's an upgrade." He said, "It's an upgrade," and I'm looking for the exact quote. And in fact, I'll play it for you a little bit later on. He said, "It may not necessarily be what we need, but it's an upgrade." I don't see anything negative about that.
Well, it's consistent every year, and he's the guy. And I just look at this as saying Alex is looking beyond him and going into next year. He's adding new leaders on the team, and this could be a case of I'm losing my leadership. And I totally disagree. I listened to that and the clips and everything, and it was not a positive comment.
All right. I mean, I have trouble, honestly, and I always have. But it's never going to change. I have trouble with people trying to play psychologist with people that they've never met, with people trying to figure out what someone is thinking when they've never talked to that person, trying to get into somebody's head who they don't know, who they think they know through a television screen or through clips that they see from the media. Jose Bautista.
We're looking forward to adding a pitcher in the next 2 days. Hopefully this is not what we needed.
Yeah, I couldn't hear that. Something going on with the levels that they're playing with you there. The Blue Jays do want to add a pitcher. Jose Bautista would love for the Blue Jays to add a pitcher. Jose Bautista is not going to be jumping for joy, as I said earlier in the program, when one of his good friends is traded away. And I think to expect him to be jumping for joy would have been far too much to expect. But he has said himself that there was nothing negative about his comments. He's been pretty active on Twitter tonight, actually. I think maybe perhaps a reaction to the people who booed him when he got hurt and had to limp off the field. But as well, I mean, what Bautista tweeted was, for the ones playing psychologist over my comments about the trade, how about this? Understand what people try to say. He added, don't let the media manipulate you, which is a whole other thing, and I don't know if there's media that's trying to manipulate the message or anything like that.
Right.
But
so what,
you have to take what he says at face value.
What's his injury? I didn't hear the result.
He has a hamstring cramp, okay. And hopefully he'll be fine.
That's good. I mean, I'm hoping for the best, so I'm just getting more excited about next year. I hope that's going to be our year. I think it's a long shot this year, but you never know, right?
I think 3.5 games back with 61 games to play is not a long shot, especially when you're outscoring the opposition at the level that the Blue Jays are. It's a lot of thing, and I appreciate the call. It's something that a lot of people choose to ignore in their frustration with how badly this team is playing. But the fact that the Blue Jays have outscored their opposition by 93 runs this year is a hugely significant thing, and it means something. And it means that this team should have won a lot more games than they already have, and it means that this team should win more games the rest of the way than they already have. Will they? Who knows? But while it may be a lot more fun to be doom and gloom, the truth of the matter is there's no reason to expect that this team can't make up a 4-game deficit over 60 to get into a wild card. And again, they play the Yankees 13 times. 13 times. Yeah, they're 8 back. Yeah, that's a lot. And yeah, the Yankees are playing really, really well right now. They play them 13 times. they take care of business, they can still win the division. Corey is in Mimico. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on the show. Just wanted to ask your opinion about something. Steve Delabarre got optioned down to Buffalo the other day. Didn't really make much news in the papers. Wanted to know what's your opinion and what's really going on there that we don't know.
Steve Delabarre was the guy who was, I mean, they chose to send down, just like they did at the end of spring training. He'd had a run of really, really bad outings prior to the All-Star break. He pitched well in two outings after the All-Star break, but still falling behind in counts and stuff. And he's a short reliever. They moved Aaron Sanchez to the bullpen to be a short reliever. So Steve Delabarre's job is, you know, he's not a guy who can give them length like Ryan Tepera can, like Liam Hendricks can. He's a short guy, and your short guys are Sanchez and Schultz and Asuna. There's no room for Delabarre, so Delabarre's the guy who goes down.
Yeah, I definitely see that we've added some more arms there recently as well. But where do you see this going? I mean, obviously Steve isn't going to be happy in a place like Buffalo, and I think that maybe he could offer something to another team. Do you think maybe we might see him go somewhere else?
I don't know that he has much value right now. I certainly don't think he's in any position to demand a trade or anything like that. But he's a guy who the Blue Jays control for another 4 years. So it's, you know, he's going to be out of options next year, and they'll have to make a decision then. If they don't like him next year to make the team, then they will move him in order to get something. But, you know, I'm sure Steve Delabarre is not happy. Steve Delabarre shouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
But to be brutally honest, it doesn't matter whether Steve Delabarre is happy or not.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like an awful drop because, a couple of years ago he was an All-Star, and now he's not even with the big league club. It seems like a pretty sharp decline.
It is a pretty sharp decline, but he hasn't lived up to his end of the bargain. He hasn't pitched well enough to, you know, if you're pitching really well, you don't get sent down. So he wasn't.
Even compared to some of the other guys in the bullpen, I mean, albeit, though, some of the other poor performers were lefties, but I still personally think he might have something to offer. And
Steve Delabarre gave up 9 runs over 3 1/3 innings in his 4 outings before the All-Star break.
Comparatively, his numbers aren't, some guys in the bullpen have worse numbers than he does, and they're still there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and the fact that he throws right-handed has something to do with it, that the Blue Jays want the lefties and Loop and Brett Cecil, who had his 11th straight scoreless outing tonight, that no one will remember when he gives up 1 run when they're down by 5 sometime. But, Aaron Loop has not performed well. Aaron Loop is probably saved by the fact that he throws with his left hand. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Loop has more of a Major League CV than Steve Delabarre does as well.
Mm-hmm. Mike, thanks a lot for having me on the show. I really appreciate the answer.
All right. Thank you for the call. That's the way it is. The Blue Jays short righties were Sanchez, Schultz, and Asuna. Now it's Sanchez, Hawkins, and Asuna. No room for Delabarre, unfortunately. But he didn't help his cause either. Even though the overall numbers are good, lately, not so much. Derek is in Chatham. Hey, Derek.
How are you, Mike?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Listen, Mike, I agree with you earlier. You indicated you don't think there's any sense on a short-term rental. I agree. I think we have...
Well, there isn't any sense in giving up a ton for a short-term rental.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big difference.
I agree as well, but still, if we can go this year, maybe we should go. But I just don't know what's out there for us. You were upset with me when I called on Saturday to say that we're not grinding out enough stuff to win games, and I think that's what happened tonight as well. We didn't grind out. It's too bad DuBrant pouted when, you know, he didn't get things going his way in this inning. But our response for the rest of the game was really only mediocre from a team that had the best. Don't agree with Gibb. Morgan didn't really shut us down. Somehow we just didn't. We didn't come to the plate. And I'm not quite sure I get all of that. I see a lot of things around different hitters in their approach to hitting, which you and I are not going to necessarily spend time talking about, obviously, but I think we've given up the plate in the game. Jose Bautista does not give up the plate. He stands there, and the plate is his, and he leads in the walks, and he gets, I mean, he gets thrown out too bad, but I think in the case of Trevor tonight, he's been lunging. And it's a case of kinetics.
Who's Trevor? Devin Travis?
Sorry.
The guy who hit a home run in his only healthy at bat tonight?
Yes. But
okay.
How did he get hurt?
Look, Derek, we're close to the clock, but I can't really listen to this. You can complain about the guy who hit a home run. And the fact that he's, I mean, it's, look, I didn't get upset with you. I disagreed with you, and there's a difference because I don't believe, like I said the other time you called, that grinding wins games. I think you got to go up there and you got to get hits, and you're always going to look flat when you're not scoring runs, especially when you get one hit after the fourth inning. And the Blue Jays looked flat tonight. It's not because they didn't go up there trying to get on base. They didn't get on base. I want to play the clip of Jose Bautista that so many people have called and tweeted to complain about. Here's what Bautista said when he was asked if the Tulowitzki trade was an upgrade for the team this year.
I mean, if you want to look at a pure baseball move, I think there's upgrades in different areas. Maybe not necessarily what we need, but it is an upgrade if you want to look at it that way. Yeah.
There you go. I don't know how that's negative. I don't know how that's calling out the GM. I don't know how that's saying he's disappointed by the trade. I don't know how that's any of these theories that people have come up with. That's Jose Bautista saying this upgrades in different areas. They've upgraded the offense. They've upgraded the defense. They haven't upgraded the pitching, which may necessarily be what they need, but it's an upgrade. Didn't sound like an angry guy to me. And hopefully he'll be in the lineup tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern time. R.A. Dickey and Jerome Williams as the Blue Jays look to split this series with the Philadelphia Phillies, and it'll be Troy Tulowitzki's debut. We will talk to you then.